It's 9 o'clock. It's Mountain Time. It is Thursday, December 10th, 2020. And Tom and Shane are on. Hey, don't forget, Tom and Shane are on the radio every Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. Click listen now at KMMSAM.com. And you don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to leave any personal information of any kind. And you'll be able to listen to us and call us, text us, whatever. If you missed any of our past shows, they're all at KMMSAM.com. Click on Tom and Shane's podcast and share that with your friends. And if you're watching on YouTube, of course, please subscribe. Click the little notification bell down there below the video and like us, comment, and all of that, and share that with your friends as well. Mike McCormick joins us. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing spectacular, actually. Thank you. I'm fine with this easy weather that we're having right now. I know that winter will come, and I've been here long enough to know that it's not uncommon to be looking at bare ground this time of year. That's okay.
Yeah, that will work. So, yeah. Well, yeah, we get a lot of snow after whatever. Craig's
whatever.
Here. Hi, Tom. Hi, Mike. Hi, Shane. Well, sorry. No, hi, Shane. You and Craig aren't a fan club, Shane.
Apparently not. Yeah.
Mikey, you have to make some kind of a disclaimer this morning. So let's get that out of the way, and then we'll get rocking and rolling here.
Thanks so much for having me, Tom and Shane. It's wonderful to be here with both of you. We've carried quite a year on this show, and I'm a weekly guest thanks to you guys. It's one of those things where giving financial advice these days, everything's covered with liability. And so as a registered investment advisor, I'm a fiduciary for my clients. But if you're not one of my clients, things that I say on this show can and can't be used against me or in a court of whatever. It's been a heck of a year regarding your finances. And I think everybody should be quite happy with their advisor and their stocks and the risk they've taken. Today, Tom, you put some great topics out there, but we're also got to start getting into the predictions for 2021 at some point.
Well, that's true. A lot can happen here. We still have an election up in the air, sort of. I think it's probably a pretty well done. But anyway, that's where we find ourselves. So, Greg says the beard looks good on you, Tom. I don't know so if it is or not. Linda's here. Good morning, Tom, Shane, and Mike. Happy to have you along with us. Thanks so much for being here. But you're right, Mike. Predictions are certainly one of those things that we've got to think about because it's your money.
And one thing that I've recognized, Tom, is no matter how much it is, it's always very important to its owner. Certainly going forward, and so I'd also like to see if we can't carve out some time on today's show to talk about how people can get started if they haven't been able to benefit from some of these gains that we're seeing in the stock market. How do you approach a market that's so expensive? And the same goes for real estate too. So we'll see what we can do about those things. You had a heck of a headline run up though. And I don't know if you want to introduce it, but I'm sure Shane would probably be the best person to give us the whole overview would be the attack on Facebook that we've been seeing. You guys are following that, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's our opening topic. 48 attorney generals, Federal Trade Commission. Even Guam is getting in on this. Guam's ready to sue. So, oh man, yeah. When you got Guam on your side, you know what's going to happen. So, Shane, you want to tackle that one to start us off with the. Federal Trade Commission and 48 well, of the Attorney General.
The lead prosecutor is the State Attorney General of New York. That's somewhat surprising, being it's a Democratic stronghold. But with 2.5 billion people following Facebook every day and their acquisition of a couple of companies 10 years ago, the U.S. government now feels that they're a monopoly. And it's an antitrust issue. So very often these things are negotiated out. They're not necessarily taken to court. I would think that in the best interest of Facebook and for greater wealth of the Zuckerberg and family, that's probably something they'll just agree to. That, you know, Facebook right now is priced at $800 billion. So you spin off these two companies, you know, it's just like the Rockefellers having this, you know, break up, you know, Standard Oil and into Seven Sisters, and they were worth more money, 10 times more money than before. So it would just, it's going to increase his wealth by spinning them off and give people an opportunity to buy into those companies because they'll be public as well. So that's what I see happening. In that view, based on what I think will happen, and it'll be negotiated out to end this, Facebook doesn't need bad press. So I'd sell my Facebook only for the purpose of, you know, if it drops in value because these are spun out, you might have the cash to buy it back if the market drops a bit here in the beginning of the year, which, you know, very often it does, not terribly, but, you know, historically, February is the worst month of the market. And you may have some cash to purchase the other two companies, Snapchat and what's the other one, Tom?
Instagram. And it's WhatsApp.
Instagram, that's
it. WhatsApp. It's WhatsApp and Instagram.
I'm sorry. Yeah. WhatsApp and Instagram. I'm sorry. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Yep, that will be the duo. Mike, how do you think this will affect these individual stocks?
Well, we're seeing it and we have seen it. And to date, it's not that material. That what we're seeing, the action. So Shane's got a great perspective and outlook, and very well might be right that this is going to be a reason why people are going to be selling Facebook and putting its price with downward pressure up to some lower level. And a lot of people are probably right now, like I was just trying to do, is bringing up what did happen to Standard Oil's price action as it led up to its breakup. And if you would have ridden that stock through that breakup, you know, what was your experience? And maybe it's not negative. Long term, I think that we can all agree that Facebook as a kingdom is here, and it might break up into new kingdoms, and that might have growth to it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's whether, you know, obviously WhatsApp and Instagram were well on their way to being their own entity without Facebook, you know, to put money into it. Mm-hmm. I guess the question is, now Facebook will no longer subsidize these two at the level that it was. So is that going to, Shane, what do you think? Well, you know, obviously Facebook's probably put some money into these two programs. Maybe it hasn't, but I would think they would, you know, they would want to make both platforms as good as they possibly can with quality people and, you know, all the stuff that goes with it.
Well, if I see this the way I do, and they agree to spin them both off and take them public, clearly they, in going public, they would raise a significant amount of money to operate the company with. Mm-hmm. And of course, Facebook, you know, depending on the amount that they sell, I would be surprised if they sold 10 or 15%. Part of the negotiations might require them to sell more. But at the end of the day, it just creates greater value for Facebook because, you know, Facebook would end up holding the stock that they would hold in those companies when they go public. And then they would be self-funded and, you know, funded with the money they raise going public. So, yeah, it's a big benefit. It's one that... The interesting thing about this is it's a great benefit for Facebook and a good idea. I mean, you know, it's not something the CEO had to come up with and people on the board go, no, we don't want to do this. And, you know, the media goes, no, they shouldn't be doing this. But now you get this little ding, let's just little kick in the butt. And, you know, all of a sudden they have two assets they can roll out. And they could even get money. They could get money on top of the stock. You know, there's so many things they could negotiate out on this. I just don't see them challenging it. It's just bad press to challenge it.
Well, I think so. They've had enough negative press over the past couple of years anyway. The other thing, Mike, we have different target markets here. Facebook and Twitter, Instagram. I don't see those as direct competitors with each other. Kids use Instagram. Older people use Facebook. I think the target markets of these two and WhatsApp, you know, I doubt that there's anybody over 50 using WhatsApp, in other words, but I don't know. But it seems like these folks are, you know, there's plenty of room for growth for all three of these in various target markets. What do you think?
Well, I think that we've made some good observations. I sort of differ on the outcome, I think. So I see Facebook right now as concerned a breakup would limit their reach to find that new demographic. Look at what happened with TikTok. It just broke in. It's not controlled by Facebook. Yeah. Facebook would probably like to buy it in another environment. Mm-hmm. But it could be, you know, here's just a thought. It could be like teen clothing retailers, where they just have a lifespan. They just, there's something new that pops up and it's a new fresh thing. And maybe it's going to be that way with our social media to some extent. And maybe we don't need oversight. Maybe by the time that they actually are able to break up Facebook, maybe we're seeing another platform arise from somewhere else that's gaining in popularity. So I see it as being pretty sticky. I do see Facebook fighting it. I think that it's one of those things where they'll go ahead and look like the bad guy, because they do have right now the data reach from those different demographics, both Instagram and Facebook, younger and older is really what it is. And together they can really put together all the analytics that really creates value. In looking at the stock action for how Facebook's traded, you know, it's really been pretty underwhelming. It has not been a high flyer like Microsoft, like Apple, like of course Zoom and the other COVID stocks. It's really, where are we looking? Over 2 years, it's doubled. Mm-hmm. 2 years, it's doubled in price.
Yeah.
For Facebook, that's a pretty muted response. In comparison, Apple has doubled twice in 2 years.
Yeah.
So,
You got 1 billion users. You would think the growth would be better than that. I know the wife is a little disillusioned. It got almost to 300 and never, I don't think it ever crossed the 300 plateau. If it did, it was pretty brief. Might have been for a day or two, but.
Well, and if you bring it up on your ticker, and I don't want to go too far into technical analysis, yeah, but I think every once in a while.
From August 26th to, let's see, September 2nd, it was over 300. Yeah. It got as high as 303, 303. Yeah, so, it, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to say it was barely over. Yeah.
Yeah, it's down 10% from its high, yeah.
Yeah.
And I really want to take a brief moment and look at the PE ratio. If you bring it up on any stock search or just put in a Google search, Facebook symbol FB, you'll see its price to earnings ratio is 31. Now that is historically high, but we are in a historical anomalous time. What it means is two things. One is that it makes money. We are seeing a lot of these high flying tech stocks. And we saw some IPOs yesterday that we should talk about. Having valuations that are reminiscent of the dot-com boom, where companies that didn't have a profit were being valued really highly. Facebook looks like a value play to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing,
2.8 billion shares out, it generated earnings per share of $8.78. So that's pretty spectacular when you think about it. That's like $20 billion in earnings per share. That's pretty huge. Yeah.
Well, the other thing too, I think one of the reasons that Facebook purchased these two things was to open more advertising to, that age, that demographic, the younger kids. And, Facebook was, more geared to older people. And, probably most kids in high school, you'd be vilified if you're using Facebook instead of Instagram or Snapchat or WhatsApp or WhatsApp and all of that.
And I'm not convinced this is a true monopoly in its historical context either,
yeah.
Tom.
I'm not either. Yeah.
There's no barrier to entry. Mm-hmm. You know, if I had a garage full of programmers, I could put my own social media program together. We wouldn't have any users. We wouldn't have any, our value would be hard to value, but we'd be in. And if somehow that turned into a viral thing again, like they did with TikTok, Facebook could argue that they've got a threat everywhere. And they're just doing prudent business practices. I suspect that at the end of all this, yes, as you guys say, there'll be some pieces carved off. Google is the other one to be talking about. They're in this new sector of companies called communication services. You also get Charter, Spectrum, and the streaming services in there as well. And they're having a lower valuation than the high-flying tech companies. But looking at Google's dominance, it should be part and parcel. I mean, so that's the opening question was, what am I seeing happening in stocks? And it's that this XLC is one of the tickers for the ETFs I use, where it covers both Facebook and Google. Yeah, it hasn't been a high flyer, but it's looking like the safer way to me to have a foot in the new economy, in the new world, in the Zoom world, and have some value to it. So I think people, if you need to sell Facebook because you got too much of it, that makes sense. But I tell you what, I've got a lot of clients that have too much Apple, and selling that has been a bad decision every single time. It's just continued to perform. So who knows?
Yeah. Shane, what do you think?
Well, I think we pretty well covered all the subject. I think that they take on Facebook because it's in a better case, a better example. If they plead out Facebook to some settlement, then I see, you know, there's no question there'll be others that they will follow the same process with. And, you know, it's just one of these situations that you find in the 21st century, because right now in the last year, there's been more underwritings in the last year than 1998-99 prior to the dot-com issue. You know, you had a company that went public yesterday, you know, Skip the Dishes, I think it was, you know, $70 billion it comes out at. Like, you know, this is narrow to the whole issue between 98 and 99. Now, it's a lot different in the context that the day traders had a lot to do with that, you know, 20 years ago, and pushing those stocks to higher values because they only bought a few hundred shares or 100 shares each. And there was just no stock, and the traders were shorting it and getting snagged because they couldn't borrow it. So they drove the price on a lot of it. But today it's just greed. You know, if I don't buy it today, I'll be higher tomorrow. Greed and fear. So, yeah, we're into a new situation that could be systemic. It could be real as a problem for the market. You know, if you don't have enough paper out there to buy anything because of what we're seeing, which we generally have talked about, you know, the capitalization, then you'll buy anything new on the block, you know, and you know, just to be able to move money around. And as Mikey talks about a lot, you know, spread your risk out. And that's what people are trying to do, particularly big players, you know.
Yeah, I would agree. I would think if anybody needs to be broken up, it needs to be Google. They got Google, they got YouTube, and they've got a bunch of other stuff. But YouTube being the largest search engine, and second largest, I guess, next to Google, if you want to call them a search engine, you know, if I want to know how to do anything, I go to YouTube and, you know, there it is. You know, they've got everything over there. Whatever you want to do, you want to fix your motorcycle, you want to make an omelet, you want to know how to make a bed, Google or Facebook's got a billion videos on how to do it. So
But the problem is, you know, with Google, to be honest with you, you got Bing. So it's a competitor that's been out there. It's mature. Mm-hmm. It's been around for a long time. Sure. And it hasn't been able to compete really with Google because it doesn't offer as good of a searches as Google does.
Yeah.
But
you've also got DuckDuckGo and what's the other one? Opera. You got Opera out there. So. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's other search engines you can use, certainly. So, but
now, in order for me to, you know, barrier to entry to that field is also relatively low. It's going to take me a little more time than building the social media platform. Mm-hmm. Obviously, building a better widget than Google is proven a challenge. Yeah. But someday somebody will do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as you were saying, Mike, when we're talking about competition and whatever. Parlors come along, but that is in its infancy. We probably have more people watching this show than are on Parler at the moment. You know? I'm on there, but you know, I use it sparingly. Well, I put the show up on Parler, you know, but as far as number of people that follow me or whatever, it's pretty small right now. I got more, you know, I got almost 5,000 Facebook friends and 4,000 LinkedIn. So, you know, we go from there. You know, Facebook, the most you can have is 5,000. So, you know, you got to pick and choose who your friends are there. So.
Most of us don't know what the limit of friends is on Facebook, Tom.
Yeah, I know.
And Alphabet, like Facebook, is, you know, it's a money machine.
Yeah.
Now, there's only 680 million shares out on it. And, it, you know, its earnings per share is $51.75. But the PE ratio at 34, similar to what we were talking about with Facebook. But with only 680 million shares out and $1,700 price, you know, they could split it 3-for-1, go to 3 billion shares or whatever, and have their stock trading at a price that, you know, might allow investors to get into it. That would have a bigger impression on the government if they did something like that, because more people in a stock, the less likely the government wants to do something, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how this lawsuit plays out. The real rub they're going to have a problem with is that the FCC originally okayed these two buys that Facebook made. So it's going to be pretty hard to pull the plug on them, I think. It's going to be pretty tough for the FTC to back that off, particularly when if they want to sit up there and say, well, hey, what about Google and YouTube? Yeah, if there isn't a monopoly there, I'm not sure what one is.
You're well, exactly right.
This would have been the easiest one for them to go after in the context of, you know, we got to do something about these guys are getting too big. So, you know, I would, of course, agree with you that, you know, YouTube would be a target as well as Alphabet. So, I would agree.
Yeah. Mike, what do you think?
Sorry, messing with my mute. no barriers to entry, previous approval to do the deal. I think that this will go, you guys are the experts on this one, but this is a good question. This has to do with internet privacy. It has to do with what liability companies are at when they do collect information about you. And maybe to some degree, all the credit scandals and the cyber crimes and all these things are going to get wrapped into one really good question that would take Congress and Senate and the president all skipping together hand in hand to solve something. So that's not going to happen for a while either.
Yeah. Well, the other thing to think about, the big elephant in the room is the Article 230. You know, what is government going to do anything with that? Or is that included in this lawsuit? You know, if they get rid of the liability for Facebook and YouTube and Google and all these, YouTube has already said they will not post any videos that talk about Biden not winning the presidency. I mean, they've just flat out said we're not going to put any videos up to that. You know, so they've developed, you know, being a Google brand, they've just. You know, that information has gone from Google over to Facebook. Whether or not the political aspirations of it are right or wrong, but you know, it does show they could put that out as a thing here that these things need to be controlled more. And that would really dump the stock. If they get that 230 passed, I mean, yeah.
You know, they don't want more control of these.
No, they don't. Yeah.
I think that they recognize that it's just too complicated and it's a great place for free enterprise to go somewhere next. Mm-hmm. So if there's no crime, and you alluded to this earlier, if everybody's benefiting from Facebook stock going up, you know, maybe we'll have to, I'm pessimistic mm-hmm. for anything that big being addressed right now. It's a good question to ask.
Yeah. What about an ETF of social media? Exchange traded fund, I should say, for the people who aren't familiar with ETFs.
Yeah, they're really just think of them as today's mutual funds where it's a gift basket. And again, the XLC, I don't speak military lingo. Tom could probably rattle that one off for us pretty good. it is a new sector that they had to create in the world of stocks, because they didn't have a category to accurately describe what these companies do. They're all new technology companies, and they're not the growth ones that you see sometimes. It's Facebook, Google, we talked about them. It's also T-Mobile, Comcast, Walt Disney, something we do talk a lot about, Charter, the old cable company, remember them? They're a big company in here. Activision, Netflix, and Verizon. Now, I don't have anything bad to say about any of the companies in there as far as investments go. So I've been loading up on this one, maybe to our detriment. But that's what, you know, maybe we've covered the subject enough to move on, Tom, I guess.
All right. Well, it is a fascinating.
What's the price of that ETF you just mentioned?
Thank you for asking. $66.36. And you own a share of all those companies that I mentioned without having to do extra work.
All right. Well, in other news, weekly jobless claims surged to 853,000. The lockdowns are continuing. California is locked down, I guess, for the next 2 weeks. A lot of business owners are revolting and opening rather than, you know, stay closed and go out of business, I guess. So does the jobless situation, I'm hard to phrase this question.
Does it matter? Maybe
yeah,
that's
right. Yeah. 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 Does it matter if a bunch of people are out of work?
It matters a lot, but only because it's opposite day. If we have enough people that are unemployed, we'll continue to have easy fiscal and monetary policy. And that makes stocks go up.
Mm-hmm. Shane, what do you think?
Purely political play. You know, I see these shutdowns as being totally opposite of what the science says. And, you know, that's why this whole issue now about the vaccine is becoming so politicalized. And because everyone's, you know, now the media and everybody's fighting the narrative about the vaccine for a lot of reasons. But I'm not convinced, maybe others are, I'm not, that lockdowns work. I don't see an example where it's clearly worked. I think that if you have a spike, you should go in and this has been successful in New Zealand and Australia, you know, where they have had spikes and you go in and you surround it and try and make sure you can manage it, not control it, but manage it as best you can. It's bad for the economy. But again, you know, the private sector is principally 80% Republican. And, you know, politically, you know, we know what the Democrats have said for the last month, you know, destroy the Republican Party, wipe these people out. I mean, you got to believe people when they tell you stuff like that. It's pretty harsh.
Yeah. Well, I know back in the beginning of the COVID, New Rochelle was a community that they completely shut down as a hotspot. And then, of course, de Blasio and Cuomo had red sections of New York City, orange sections, whatever. And I saw something interesting the other night, Mike, in Bristol, Tennessee, and the main street on one side, it's one state. On the other side, it's another state. So you got people shut down on one side of Main Street, and you got people wide open on the other side of Main Street. So, you know, all these layoffs and people shutting down in California for a couple of weeks have really escalated the people applying for benefits.
Well, yeah, this is, I guess I'll get back to my muting. Oh, here, I'm good. Yeah. It's just tricky.
Yeah.
The number of deaths that we've had from coronavirus per day right now is worth trying whatever we can. So I don't fault anybody for doing what they think is the right thing to help other people. If it's an inconvenience, it's an inconvenience. If it's a business lifeline, yeah, the stimulus needs to go hand in hand with it. And that's where it might be political. In terms of, you need to have aid to the businesses that you're shutting down. That wouldn't be good for anybody to wake up come springtime and there'd be no restaurants downtown and the property owners all be in foreclosure for their mortgages. So, I think hand in hand on that regard, the joblessness is, there's a glass half full to that. Because if you are looking to grow a company, you need help. And there are plenty of companies that are growing right now. There's a lot of conundrums going on. So a good ready labor supply that's able to adapt, that's typically younger, millennials, I'm thinking, they might be a sweet answer to some of these companies. How do we continue growth questions too? Got to hold out for 2021 being pretty good.
You know, yesterday, the National Restaurant Association of the United States put out their annual report, and 12 million people work in the industry across your country. 68% of restaurants, family-owned, privately-owned, will be shut down forever and never opened again. The average age of these restaurants is 6 years. About 40% are over 25 years old, and the rest are, less than 10. And that's going to be a huge impact in inner cities across your country because they play such a major role, the people they employ. And we've talked about this, for every job you provide in a community, it creates 10 more. So clearly if you take away, a job, there's other 10 other jobs that are going to be lost. So these are the kind of numbers that you sort of, people just sort of miss. And it's apparent that the result of this next year is cheap money or not, with this seemingly political situation about, arbitrarily deciding what's open, what's closed, what's a red zone, what's a yellow zone, and so forth. It's a big risk to go in the restaurant business anyway. 90% will fail in the first year. So, this is not good for your economy. Not good for your country, and that's why the private sector job situation is down 10 million jobs. So we got to watch it because it's a major impact.
Yeah, currently official unemployed 10.7 million, actual unemployed 18.5 million. That's getting right up there. We're still in double digits, I believe. It's going to be 2 or 3 weeks before the job market comes out. A lot of people are being hired for Christmas. We see now hiring signs all over the place at Target and Walmart and Lowe's and places like that. But they're, obviously they're going to be temporary work. And whether that work is enough to offset unemployment, you're supposed to look for work. You're not supposed to refuse any work. But whether or not people, they've got to weigh the benefits against the other. So that's kind of where we are. So, this jobless thing is, I agree with Mike. I think if you're going to kick people to the curb, you've got to have, Congress needs to act to get some kind of stimulus going. And they've been sitting on their hands because of this election. And purely politics that they want to do a bunch of stuff tied to the stimulus bill that they think their base is going to like. So, but yet the American people have to suffer because of that. And that's just not right. So there we are. Any thoughts, Mike?
I think there's not going to be any big surprises politically. Yeah. It's going to be, they want it to be as smooth as a handoff as possible, I think, from an economic standpoint. So we'll see. That said, we're building bubbles, and bubbles always end the same way. There's nothing new about this bubble. And we're just as ignorant as to where we are on the bubble cycle as we have been every time. So, whether that's going to be a trigger that happens with an election in Georgia, or whether it's going to be a trigger with some international something, or if it's just going to be every one day next year, everybody gives a sign, secret sign, and runs for the door and starts selling Facebook or whatever. Interest rates this low, and this much easy money going around will revert at some point.
Yep, I would agree.
Yeah, if I could just mention, really give a piece of information for our listeners. With the commodity market moving and oil over 50, Brent in Europe and other commodities starting to move again, I suggest that people go to DJGT. That's Dow Jones Global Titans. It's a Dow Jones index, the top 50 companies globally. It's a great index to follow. It's at 429 today, up 5.6. Of course, it's just been climbing over the last couple of years. But I think it's more broad than the Dow Jones 30 because it's just U.S. companies. And this is 50 global companies. And it's great information. It's put out by Dow Jones, of course, owned by Fox. But I just highly recommend it as an index to watch along with the Dow 30 for everyone's information.
Okay. Craig says McConnell needs to care about Americans, not his boss. Well, McConnell needs to send something to the president that will be signed. So, you know, it's up to the president to sign it. So they got to compromise, guys. You know, I mean, there's got to be some kind of compromise there. Let's see. We've got a question. A significant amount of property goes back to the bank and the banks lease it out to their favorite individuals. Isn't that the same thing that dictators do? Well, I don't know that the banks lend it out to their, unless it's a good investment, I guess. But I think they open it up to everybody, don't they, Mike? If they repossess a home or car or whatever, it's not, hey, Joe, I got a car for you, or hey, Joe, I got a house for you. I think legally I have to put it out to everybody.
We've all encountered some amount of cronyism in our business lives. So all banks have a fiduciary duty to their shareholders to make the most they can. And sometimes the way that they feel most comfortable making money is taking risks off of people that they've done business with regularly. So in an old town like Montana, for sure, nobody's underwritten a municipal bond in this state as long as I've lived here other than D.A. Davidson, as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they do a fantastic job and are probably very fairly priced. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's just some aspects of people are comfortable working with who they're comfortable with. Now, banks repossessing property, they want to get rid of it as soon as possible. And at the end cycle of it all, it's being sold to the open market at some point.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, another news. Starbucks reveals plans for a $15 minimum wage. They're going to do this over, I think, 3 years, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's 2 or 3 years anyway. Following their workers' demands for more pay, the workers want $15 to be the starting wage. 30% of U.S. workers currently make $15 or more an hour, and Starbucks on the path to have every worker make that much in the coming 3 years. So I don't know. That seems to me like a coffee shop. Shane can probably address this better than I can, that I would think a coffee shop that sells a couple pastries here and there has a pretty low profit margin. What do you think, Shane?
Oh, no. Starbucks has a massive profit margin with the price they charge for coffee. Their coffee is low grade. It comes from South America, principally Brazil. And so, you know, they do their own grinding and roasting of the beans. So, they've got a vertically or integrated system of delivery that makes their coffee extremely profitable. It's probably in the range of 60-65%. It's not like pop, you know, to serve a dollar drink at McDonald's costs them a nickel. That's how profitable that is, especially if they put ice in it. So, it's the only thing they have to buy of consequence is the syrup. But other than that, it's money. It's a money machine.
I was going to say the patron puts the ice in. Usually you go over to the machine and fill the thing full of ice, you know, but you do get refills. So there you are.
Yeah. And the profit margin with Starbucks is so significant that all the other side products they offer are locally purchased because they don't want to get into the vertically integrated responsibility of delivering anything but coffee and coffee cups and so forth, caps, sticks, and whatever, mm-hmm. to their stores. You know, so it's sort of like the old Wendy's competition against the other major burgers. You know, we buy everything fresh. You know, you know, it's not frozen patty, and then, you know, everything's fresh at, you know, at Wendy's. So, yeah, everything you get basically at Starbucks is either is centrally located in each city because there's so many stores and so forth.
Yeah. Well, fast food seems to be one of the places that have survived mostly because fast food has become a drive up, not a dine in, Mike. So these companies, McDonald's seems to be hanging in there. What do you think about these fast foods?
Yeah, it's a pandemic surge that will probably linger. And so we earlier talked about too much about the Facebook thing, but the zero barrier to entry, building client loyalty through as Starbucks does, as McDonald's does, as the newer fast food places, Shake Shack, etc. You know, those things are pretty durable. And so Starbucks making this move to $15 an hour, that's sort of, I think they're sort of looking at themselves like a Patagonia for their field, where they're going to try and address human rewards and build brand and client loyalty through some feel good stuff. That I think will probably work for their demographic and their locations that they're at. So all of these are solid investments because, you know, people cannot eat out, but people can't cook for themselves every single night. I think that's just us Americans needing a break from time to time and wanting to try something new too. So however you can put food easily in our hands, we're going to give it a try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I remember Starbucks, they had some issues with their employees. I think it's been 1 or 2 years ago that they come out with these different recipes of these specialty coffees, and they estimate it's going to take X minutes to make that cup of coffee for it to be profitable. And the employees were complaining that, hey, it takes longer than that. You know, you're doing it in a laboratory in an ideal situation. We're running around back here banging into each other, trying to get the milk or the, you know, the cream or the whatever. So, yeah, they're, you know, these companies do have issues, no question there. So,
well, yeah, the interesting thing about Starbucks, if you just stand inside the store for 10 minutes and watch, it's an individual preparation. There's nothing like other fast foods where it's a line where, you know, you move it down, you know, like one person steaming milk and then it moves down. They don't. They do individually. Yeah. Not very efficient. I would want to say something about the drive-up industry. With 70%, 72% of McDonald's and other companies' stores' business, and you knew this from the last 50 years by watching the design of their buildings where the, you know, drive-up windows got – they would add to them. You know, you have three, four lanes, number one. The building itself would be not as big unless there was a suburban store with, you know, an area for children to play in. And then in the age of COVID, you know, you've seen those numbers jump to 90, 95% of their business has been drive up. So, you know, it's one of the things that, you know, unlikely success, they, you know, they did this and it's probably saved them. You know, there's a lot of sit down, you know, places, a couple of Mexican, companies that, you know, don't have as much of a drive up business that they haven't, you know, done well because of their lack of being able to have people come inside, even if it is fast food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, moving on. Elon Musk, one of our favorite folks on here, he crash-landed a $216 million spaceship, but thinks that's a triumph. Shane, I know you follow this all over the place with Elon Musk. What's the deal?
Well, it's a test rocket. It's more along the lines of the rocket he's been talking about for the last couple of weeks about for, you know, to be utilized on the Mars effort. He originally said that he thought they'd have a 1 in 3 chance of this working. It's always working knowledge. NASA in the past has always tested these engines on the ground. They, you know, before they actually would use them. Elon sees that as a waste because his rockets are usable. So it's a write-off, but, you know, most brilliant guy on the planet moving to Texas. I don't see this problem.
Yeah, getting out of California. Yeah.
Yeah. He's moving everything. His brick company, out of there. Tunneling company, Tesla, you know, SpaceX, all going to Texas. Yeah. It's quite fascinating.
Well, Mike, Musk stock. What do you think? Buy, not buy, hold, wait, sell?
I'm a conservative investor. My job is to not lose the money that my clients give me. It's how I'm hardwired. I don't chase high flyers like this. Remember that in May, Elon Musk himself said that his stock was too high. Yeah. That was back in May. It was probably half as much. I haven't looked in that time period. It's neat to see. It's exciting. He's changing the world. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. Well, certainly he is a pioneer. I think you'd have to agree, both of you, that he's trying a lot of things, like a lot of people who are rich do. Not everything pans out the way you would like for it to, but you know, these things go along. You know, I don't know about getting to Mars by 2050 or not. I don't know if I'll be here in 2050 or not. Maybe.
Oh, no, he's saying in 8 years. No, Tom, he's saying you'll have a man on Mars in 8 years, and within 4 years he'll have a rocket landing there. So he's already announced that.
Well, I don't think he's going to have a man on Mars in 4 years. Well, even 8 years is low.
But he'll be there in four.
Yeah. Being there in four, that's a lot more realistic than getting a human being there. So, but we'll see. Yeah. Let's see. Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, both a real self-made billionaires and not con men. So, well, Bezos kind of a con man, I would say, but that's just me.
Well, he's more of a monopolist than he is a con man. I think that Amazon is one that needs to be really looked at as a company that is running a monopoly and should be broken up. But we'll see. I don't know if they want to take on the Washington Post and the billions that he provides for political parties, because he's probably provided more money than anyone else, you know, in that sphere of companies.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Well, and also, too, he's really capitalized on the pandemic. I mean, to a great degree. I mean, people are buying online, not going to stores, not shopping as much. They can get anything on Amazon, maybe except frozen food, that you can get in a downtown store or a big box store. So, Mike, what do you think?
Oh, I think it's absolutely right on that we should be looking at Amazon's dominance. And I'm just going to go with the theme. My theme of the show is barriers to entry.
Mm-hmm.
There are barriers to entry in Amazon's business, I would say. And so that would lend them to be examined more as a monopoly in that regard. Regarding political lobbying, that's from the every wealthy family, every industrialist, did their best to buy politicians, and America survived. So we'll see where it all ends up. But I can't imagine that an inquiry on Facebook is anything other than just a first foray into all the dominance of the tech companies.
Mm-hmm. Got a quick question for you, Mike, from Craig. Mike, do you still believe in cigarettes and cell phones?
Hey, that is a good long time caller, Craig. I appreciate that. Well, cigarettes has been a poor one. Cell phones has performed as expected. And so, sure, I think I do. I think that Philip Morris over domestic Altria has always been a better choice in my mind, because the U.S. is going to regulate more aggressively. But sin stocks will thrive and will continue to thrive. They're not really having their day right now. It's more of a ESG, climate change driven sort of investing, which has been working. So thanks for the question. Don't jump away from your good dividend paying cell phones and cigarettes right now.
Yeah, there you are. Shane, what do you think? cell phones and cigarettes.
Completely. Good call. Good call from Mike. Well, cigarettes in particular, with the legalization of marijuana, that could give the tobacco industry a pretty good bump, because they are buying into it. You know, they're monopolizing it. They're buying up all the competitors in the marijuana field to produce, you know, tobacco and cigarettes. So they'll have blends. You'll be able to have a menthol joint, and you'll have a, you know, tobacco and marijuana joint. And this is a whole new game, baby. Yeah, the Marlboro Man will be riding his horse backward in the new
ad. I think so. I guess we'll have to see about that. So, well, in other news, DoorDash, went on the New York Stock Exchange. It's a public company. DoorDash delivers food and whatever to people's door, and they've been around for not too long. They're a fairly new company, along with Grubhub and some of these others that do similar features. So, Mike, what's the deal on the DoorDash? Buy, sell, wait, look, see what it does. It went down a little bit.
But I think you missed it on this one. Yeah, wait. No, past all those lockups that Shane always talks about, where people can sell on it. Yeah. I think it's a great model. I think it's here to stay. But I think, again, I'm going back to barriers of entry. I mean, the California legislation that we saw allows created a new class of employee, but it basically allows Uber and friends to continue to pay their employees mostly as contractors, absolving them of a lot of extra expense and liability. So you can start up one of these delivery companies pretty darn quickly. I think that it's hard to say if this is the right one to go with. I haven't looked at their financials, but I've just been listening to the pundits saying, you know, maybe not this one. There's another one that they called it off, and they're going to go again now, and I can't remember where that is. I'll look that one up, but that one's more interesting.
Affirm was one of them, I think. Let me see. I think I've got that somewhere here. I don't remember. Affirm, Wish, and Roblox.
It came off yesterday. That was pretty amazing. It's got to light your fire.
Yeah, made their owners billionaires right off the bat. Some of the pundits are predicting, Mike, this thing's gonna, it's about $150 right now, somewhere in the $150 range. And I think they're talking about it doubling in the next year or so. So, don't know.
You know, talking about your company doubling and having it double there. They're two different
things. Yeah. Well, these are the investors. These are the people that are supposed to know, Mike.
So. Yeah, they're also the angel investors. They're also the angel investors that have been into it for more than 2 years and are sitting on free trading stock and they want to sell it. So,
yeah, right.
Let's be careful about what we're talking about, because right now the only guys on paper to sell are the guys that funded it originally, and then. And they always wait till it's 2 to 4 years old before they go public, so they can.
Yeah, we're
gonna... It's all free trading, baby. I'm just, it's like having the discussion we had a couple of weeks ago about, Bitcoin. But look, if the coronavirus is indicative of where we are 6 months from now, maybe it could. But if these vaccines work and they start managing this disease and people see getting back to normal, I don't know how many people are going to use DoorDash. I mean, they charge 30%,
they
add 30% to your bill. It's not cheap.
There's a delivery charge there. You can't get
on top of that 30% goes all to DoorDash, and the driver doesn't get any of it. So and he doesn't get paid. He's expecting a tip on top of that. So you purchase your food coming cold, 30% more, and he's got his hand out for a tip. You bought $9, you're at 14, and he wants another $1.50 or whatever. So you're paying $15 for $9 for cold food. Great idea.
All right.
If you're gonna order pizza delivered, don't tell him not to cut it. Say no cut pizza. So when you get your pizza at home, it'll be hotter and fresher, and cut it yourself. Don't let them cut it.
Really?
Okay. No cut pizza. Well, order a pizza from now on, folks. No cut pizza.
The most valuable show I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, I always tell the pizza guys, 8 pieces, not 12. I can't eat 12, you know, so cut it in 8.
Don't know. No, cut it yourself at home. It's fresher warmer and hotter.
Okay. You think so?
Try it.
I don't know. They do it pretty quick. You know,
all I order.
Okay.
No, the minute you cut it, food dies the minute it comes out of an oven. It's dying. So the minute you cut it, you cause it to cool quicker and harden. So no cut pizza. They'll do it. They don't want to cut it. It saves them time.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure they are. I'm sure when the phone rings and your number comes up, they're excited. Less work. Well, a company that we've mentioned on the show several times, Mike has alluded to, Robinhood, they're looking at 2021 for initial public offering launch. They're going to have Goldman Sachs run their online thing, I guess, or get it to market. So what do you think? We've talked about Robinhood. It's for low investors normally, right, Mike? It's for the person that doesn't have millions to invest. So what do you think? What do you like about Robinhood, or do you?
I'm sure the people at Robinhood would be happy to invest your millions, Tom.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they would. Yeah.
It was designed to get more people involved in investing. It broke at the perfect time. I mean, timing's everything. I used to be in the house building development business, and I recognize that it's all about timing. Anybody can do well in an up market. Everybody goes bankrupt in a bad market. But timing on something like this is in the sweet spot. It's just part of the pandemic economy that we're looking at. It's here to stay. And I don't want to come up with the same old stories I've been talking about on this show. So I'll turn it over to Shane on this.
Okay. Shane, what do you think? What, you like Robinhood or no?
No, not relevant.
Okay. All right. Well, that was simple and easy to cover, I guess. So there you are. All right. Well, we're getting down to the wire here. Nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. All right.
Screen was changing, so I lost everybody.
Oh, okay. Let's see.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, COVID's deadliest day. U.S. We're into 9/11 Twin Towers deaths per day here since the virus took over, and this still amazes me with all the precautions that we're taking: plexiglass everywhere, 6-foot social distancing, wearing masks, recirculation of air. It's hard to fathom why this thing is going as much as it is. And it doesn't seem to be affecting the markets though. Mike, we went over 30,000,
Of course, this is just an incredible disconnect between, it's the theme for the year, depending who you are. It was either a terrible year or I got by year. And for a few people, it was a good year. The number of deaths is sobering, and I think something that we should all focus on. I think the statistics are showing that it's people that are elderly and impaired, and maybe there's other issues relating to your genetic makeup and things like that. We don't know. We're too close to discover it. And with a vaccine solution so close, it seems like all we can really do is just double down on our situation and the prevalence of it. I think we all in Bozeman experienced the realities of compounding. And it was that we went from relatively no cases. There was seven people a day average for a while. Mm-hmm. And then we had a few cases come in, and the way that they spread and just think about those curves that we talk about in terms of compounding, the math of it, is absolutely what we were told could happen. There's nothing surprising about this. And I was talking to my friend in British Columbia the other day, you know, sort of like, we're doing everything right. We got no cases, and they have been. But I cautioned him. I said, you know, it's just one of those things that statistically, if you have a few house parties or whatever it might be at the wrong times, it's out of control all of a sudden. So we're not out of the woods. That could be the downer for the stock market. But the way that we're right now in the bull market, it's about stimulus. Yeah. Rounding the year out, we're going to have Christmas sales. We're going to have some bright spots, people buying gadgets. Here's my new iPhone. And then afterwards, we're going to have some reality with Senate election, with confirmation, what's going to happen next. January's frequently been a down month after we get through the Christmas euphoria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, it's going to wrap it up for us. Mike, if you could hang around just a couple seconds after we are done, we want to chat with you for a second.
Sure.
And all right, let's see. Let me pull everything up here. Hey, don't forget Tom and Shane on radio every Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. Click listen now at KMMSAM.com. And don't forget to watch or listen to our past shows at KMMSAM.com. Just click on Tom and Shane's podcast. And if you're watching us on YouTube, subscribe, ring the little notification bell, and comment on this podcast. And thanks for watching and listening. And say goodbye, Shane.
I will indeed, you know, be happy, be safe, live in the moment, live to work, come home happy to your family. And I'd like to extend holiday wishes to Mike and his family. Happy Merry Christmas to you and your family, and a Happy New Year, Mike. And been terrific working with you. You're a super stud when it comes to the market and the valuations we've looked at over the year. We've crossed swords to try and make it sound interesting, but been true professionals with our views, and it's been just terrific. And I miss you, buddy. You're 100%. People should call you. So if you got right. Mike's number and I need some advice, give him a call.
Yeah, it's all going to be in the description. Mike's stuff is there, so we'll take care of that. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up. Thanks to Mike. Thanks to Shane. Thanks to me. And thanks to everybody, all the comments and all of you listening. And we'll see everybody bright and early tomorrow morning, 9 a.m.